This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
And it's Thursday, April 4. I can't wake up on this day without singing, without hearing Bono's name, voice in my head singing "Pride in the Name of Love." Early morning, April 4. Shots rang out in the Memphis sky. Do I sound like him? Do I sound like Bono?
Sounds just like him, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We have similar, you know, pipes, but today's the 56th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, which is what the song "Pride" is about. I don't know, it's just one of those lyrics. Early morning, April 4, but it's not early morning anymore. It's morning, and it is one of those days where we have so much to get to, so much stuff here, so much insanity in the world. Stop me if you've heard this one before. The thing the Democrats, the thing Joe Biden is saying about Donald Trump is a lie. It's a hoax. It's a day that ends in Y. So we have another hoax about Donald Trump. And everything you see from Joe Biden publicly is fake, is scripted, is pre-planned. It's all just bull. We got Sage Steele, who is coming clean. Man, she's going to be number one on the enemies list soon. She just started a podcast, as we know. We mentioned it the other day when she mistook Dana White for Joe Rogan, which is pretty funny. She admitted it. She laughed about it. She's off to a good start, unlike Don Lemon, whose show has fallen off the map. He started off with millions of viewers for his interview with Elon Musk. Now nobody's watching because Don Lemon is an empty skull. He's got nothing to offer. Sage Steele, on the other hand, man, she's got plenty to offer, and the mainstream media is not going to like this. She's going to get blackballed. She interviewed Joe Biden when she was still at ESPN, before they fired her for telling the truth about the COVID vaccine. And by the way, for saying she's not black, she's mixed race. She asked the question, why should I turn my back on my white mother? And she compared herself to Obama, who turned his back on his white mother, who identifies as black, even though his black father abandoned him. She made the comparison. She told the truth, but she had to go. Can't be doing that on ESPN. You can't be telling the truth. She interviewed Joe Biden 3 years ago in the most silly, staged, scripted interview you've ever seen. It was for the beginning of baseball season. And she asked him questions about baseball, mostly. I think there was one or two questions about COVID, and she asked about his dog. It was all scripted. It was all staged. This was 3 years ago. Keep that in mind. Before Joe Biden was in complete free fall, before he was in complete throes of dementia, and he couldn't handle a question on opening day about baseball from an ESPN anchor, which means, obviously, it's a friendly interview. It's a softball interview. But even those, he can't just answer questions. He can't just talk. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. Obviously, other presidents have been staged. Barack Obama generally relied on his teleprompter. But I don't think on the opening day, Barack Obama had to have all the questions in advance. That's what's required of the dementia patient in the White House now. And Sage Steele spoke out of school. She left ESPN. She's on her own. She's doing her thing, and she's telling the truth. And she just matter-of-factly, in an interview with Fox Digital, explains how she had 20 people, editors and executives, go over every question before they submitted them to the White House for approval. And this was supposed to be, you know, a fun interview. Just Joe Biden shooting the breeze with ESPN about our national pastime. Let's listen to Sage reveal all the secrets here. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
For a wonderful day in sports, opening day for America's national pastime.
This is about 2 months after he took office.
That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go to the word. Like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask. This is how you will say it. No follow-ups. Next. I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, that were all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are, the president of our company, the CEO, where they all worked. The big picture to me is that I think it's heartbreaking. I think it's really heartbreaking that the people who love Joe Biden and say they truly care about him have allowed it to get to this point. So I'm not even looking at this from a political angle or my beliefs in anything. This is the human side of it. And when someone is struggling, we allow them to continue to be in the spotlight and put them out there in the first place when they knew there were issues. Of course, they had to know. So it's a humanity thing with me where I don't care where anyone stands and what they vote in for or who they believe in. Do you really care about that person as a father, as a husband, as a everything?
Well, we know the answer to that. Of course, they don't care about that person. As we've said many times, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, is the number one elder abuser in the world, sending this vegetable out to be interviewed and making sure he has all the questions in advance. You know, the last time Joe Biden did an interview, a real interview, it's been like almost a year. He doesn't do press conferences. He doesn't do interviews. He doesn't do rope lines. He did the Easter egg roll with Al Roker, who said, gee, what's it like living in the White House? He will never take a real question. He tweeted, well, his staff tweeted about the IDF, the Israeli army's mistake when they killed 7 aid workers the other day. They apologized. They said they would investigate. They said it was a mistake. He said he was heartbroken and outraged. This is a man who ordered a drone strike in response to the murder of 13 service members in Kabul during the disastrous withdrawal. The United States, responded by hitting a family of 10, including 7 children. I believe this was 3 days after the disastrous withdrawal. And he's never been asked about it. It's 3.5 years. He's never been asked about us killing civilians accidentally. But Israel does it. They apologize. They go before the media. They investigate. They tell you it was a mistake. We are very, very sorry. We do that. I mean, they do that. We don't do it. Our president doesn't even have to address it. He's never been asked about the laptop. The laptop, which has been in the news, it was obviously suppressed when big tech, when social media companies rigged the last election. They never said, Joe, is that real? No one, because he doesn't dare go before a reporter, a real reporter, or the assembled media and answer real questions. They must be scripted. They must be pre-approved. That's what we're dealing with. This is like North Korea stuff, where we have the president of the United States who is incapable of answering a real question from a real reporter. But that's what you got. 7 more months of make pretend, of scripts and staged issues. Sort of like what we dealt with earlier this week when, as we know, Donald Trump was in Michigan. He went to Michigan. He went to Wisconsin, battleground states, talked about illegal immigration, which is the number one issue everywhere. He's going to do it every day as well. He should. He should be in the border. He should be at Eagle Pass today. But he was out campaigning. Joe Biden was sitting in the White House. No, he had zero public events, zero meetings, nothing on Tuesday and Wednesday. And Donald Trump talked about Rudy Garcia an illegal the poor girl who was murdered by an illegal alien in Michigan. And he mentioned the murder of Lake and Riley, the college student in Georgia, nursing student, we've talked about it, who was murdered by an illegal alien who crushed her skull while she was out for a morning jog. It became a big deal. Not that Joe Biden wanted it to deal with it. He didn't even want to mention it. He was forced to mention it by Marjorie Taylor Greene and others. He didn't get her name right. And then the next day, he apologized to the murderer for calling him illegal. It was, I think, a big, big deal in this campaign. It told you a lot. And Trump, of course, is capitalizing on that as well he should. And he stood on this stage with a bunch of cops and talked about the murder of Lake and Riley. He called the guy who killed her an animal, which is appropriate. I think any decent person would agree that someone who, an illegal alien who kills an American, who kills anybody, any murderer, doesn't have to be illegal. It's okay to call him an animal, to call him a monster, a maggot, whatever. They're subhuman. That's what normal people think. Normal people don't apologize for labeling a murderer illegal, which is what Joe Biden did. But Trump talked about it. Kind of, I think he went off script a little bit here, and he mentioned it, and he said the guy was, Democrats don't like it when I call him an animal, but he's an animal. Here's what Joe Biden did. Here's what the Democrats, the media did. They clipped it to make it sound like Donald Trump was talking about all illegal aliens, all immigrants. And Biden immediately put it on all his social media platforms, said, Donald Trump called illegal aliens animals. And they handed it to their friends in the media. Their friends in the media ran with it. And then Biden responded again. That's how a hoax works. You take something that you know is patently untrue. You know your lapdogs in the media will run with it. And then you react to it and make it a big deal for the news cycle. We've seen it many, many times from every, you name it, from the fine people hoax to the suckers and losers hoax to the injecting bleach, whatever. You take it out of context. You say Trump said this when in fact he didn't. And you know, if you're Joe Biden, the media will have your back, will do your bidding, and will run with the hoax. Let's watch first. What do we have first? The short, the edited version?
Yep.
Ironhead?
Yep.
We'll play this, and then we'll get to the real version and the reaction. Go ahead.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
That's all. That's all you need if you're Joe Biden. You take that. You run with it. You say, my opponent thinks illegal aliens are animals. I'm not sure that's even that damaging if you're Trump, you know, because I think most people know that, you know, he's talking about criminals. He's talking about animals, murderers, the guys who killed Lake and Riley, who killed Ruby Garcia. I don't think it was that damaging, but they ran with it. And of course, the media reacted as you would expect. Let's do the reaction from one just typical Biden surrogate in the media, Wolf Blitzer. Now, Wolf Blitzer, everybody knows Wolf Blitzer. He's on CNN. He's been there for 100 years. He's a typical Democrat operative with a press pass who does what Joe Biden and the Biden campaign wants him to do. He actually thinks he can just go on the air with guests and say, can you believe he calls all illegal aliens animals? There's a guy on CNN occasionally. He breaks from the normal protocol and tells the truth. This guy is named Scott Jennings. He's not a Trump fan. He's not a real, real firebrand Republican, but he's one of those token CNN Republicans, and he's having none of it. Even with Wolf Blitzer, even on CNN, he tries to set the record straight. But just listen to how Wolf Blitzer, who knows he's lying, who knows what Trump said, he knows the clip was edited. He doesn't care. He has a job to do, and it's to carry the water for the Biden-Harris campaign. And Scott Jennings is having none of it. Go ahead.
But when he says these immigrants are animals, they're not humans, what does that suggest? I mean, isn't that brutal? Shouldn't people be condemning that?
I listened to the entire tape. He was specifically talking about the person who murdered Lakin Riley in Georgia. And to be honest with you, Wolf, if somebody murders another human being, I think they deserve to be called animals. And I don't think any American is really going to reject that kind of rhetoric. That poor girl was murdered in cold blood. Is that person who did it not an animal? I think that's an apt term.
So you think he was only referring to those murderers, not referring in general to illegal immigrants who are coming into the United States?
I listened to the tape. That's exactly what he was talking about, in my opinion.
It's not your opinion. You know, it's a fact. But good for Scott Jennings. And look at Wolf's face. Wait, didn't you get the script? We're not supposed to tell the truth here. This is from the Biden-Harris campaign. They tweeted out, Trump, Democrats said, please don't call immigrants animals. I said, no, they're not humans. They're animals. And then they tweet out the same thing in Spanish. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. Whatever they say, whatever they tweet, whatever they post, it's a lie. I mean, here's the full clip, in case you weren't sure. It was clear. It's obvious. It's not Scott Jennings' opinion. Trump was talking about the murderer of Lakin Riley. Go ahead.
Student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. And Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are. I'll never forget my vow to her.
He's blatantly talking about the murdering people that come over here.
Obviously. I mean, it was, you know, the same breath. But Nancy Pelosi, by the way, famously said MS-13 gang members who come here, who commit murder crimes, she said they have a spark of divinity. They're human beings like everyone else. They have a spark of divinity. So you run with that. This was another hoax that unraveled in real time. Doesn't matter to Biden. Doesn't matter to Joe Scarborough. They ran with it anyway, and they'll bring it back. They'll say, oh, especially when they're trying to win back the Hispanic vote. They'll say, Donald Trump thinks you're animals, but Trump's doing great with Hispanics because Hispanics, like everybody else, don't like an open border. They don't like Venezuelan gang members coming into the country and killing young nursing students or killing Ruby Garcia and dumping her body on the side of the road. There was a fascinating factoid from the Federalist yesterday. In 3 years, 3 months, Joe Biden has allowed almost as many illegal aliens into the country as immigrants who registered at Ellis Island in 60 years. There were 12 million people who came into this country through Ellis Island. In 60 years, Joe Biden has allowed almost 10 million illegals into the country in 3 years. He'll surpass that number by November or by January. And I think it's the only issue right now. It's what Donald Trump should be talking about every day, all day. It's what all Republicans, doesn't matter, local races, congressmen, mayors, should be talking about it all day, every day. It's the biggest issue in every poll. People don't care about climate change right now. They don't care about anything. They care about illegal aliens, which has an effect on crime, obviously, on the economy, obviously. It's going to be a huge issue. That's one of the reasons Joe Biden will not debate. You think a guy who can't sit down with Sage Steele to talk baseball is going to stand there and go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump? I mean, they'll just say whatever, COVID. They'll say Trump is not worthy. They will not debate. It doesn't matter what the polls are. They know that would be a disaster. So unfortunately, at this point, we're not getting a debate. We're not getting what is normal, what is traditional. This is not traditional. We have a dementia patient who wants to be in office for 4 more years so we can continue his effort to destroy the country. All right. Speaking of destroying the country, man, we got a lot to get to. Huge story here in Massachusetts about another boy playing girls' sports, and not just playing girls' sports, dominating and injuring girls. This kind of went under the radar because obviously the media ignores it and doesn't want you to hear this, but it kind of went viral because the Daily Mail covered it, and then J.K. Rowling's tweeted about it to her 14 million followers, and it's right here in Massachusetts, and it's just incredible. We're gonna get to another story here. Massachusetts General Hospital is taking steps to, in the name of equity, you know, when babies don't matter anymore because, you know, equity. We'll get to that, and we'll tell you what Tiger Woods is doing, or should I say not doing, as he prepares to compete in the Masters. And we talked a lot about the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese game, and I knew it was big. I didn't know it was this big. And Paul Pierce kind of has an explanation for why the entire country, why 12 million people were tuning in to a girls' basketball game the other night. We'll get to that and much more, but first.
Excuse me.
If you're anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. You know, when I get my car inspected, for some reason, I always wait to the last minute, the last day. When I pay Ironhead, I always wait to the last minute. And while most of the time it works out, the one thing in life you really cannot afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, well, I'll look into that later. No, this isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you'll find out if you're approved instantly. No hidden fees, cancel anytime, get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. So go to ladderlife.com/Jerry today to see if you're instantly approved. That's ladderlife.com/Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, ladderlife.com/Jerry. Oh, by the way, we got big breaking news today. The Ashley Biden diary is real. You know, we thought it was real, but as usual, it got very little coverage, and the Biden supporters in the media pretended, you know, they ignored it. Not a big deal. But this is just breaking this morning. The Justice Department on Tuesday asked a New York District Court judge to sentence the woman who stole first daughter Ashley Biden's diary to 4 to 10 months in prison for the crime. Well, first of all, she didn't steal it. She found it, and then she sold it to James O'Keefe when he was still with Project Veritas. So, I mean, you could say that was inappropriate. She didn't steal it, but, you know, it's Joe Biden's family, so they have the protection of the national security state, and they're still trying to destroy the woman who found the diary. But we now know it's real, and that means Joe Biden showered with his daughter, who said in her diary, "That was probably inappropriate." That's what she said, quote unquote. Prosecutors for the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York initially sought a sentence of 6 months home confinement, followed by 3 years of supervised release for Amy Harris, who pleaded guilty to conspiring to commit interstate transportation of stolen property in connection with the diary. Now they want to put her in prison. Would you do that if it were fake? Would you do that if it weren't real, if it were another hoax? No, it's real. I would say that's kind of a big deal that the president of the United States took inappropriate showers with her daughter. And by the way, where are you going to find more honesty, just more raw truth than in a young woman's diary. She writes, obviously, about her life, and she mentions that she's super sexualized, and she attributes it to a number of things, including showering with dad. So that, we know, is real, which is, I would think, kind of a big deal. But this, well, at least according to the mainstream media, is not a big deal. A boy in Lynn, Massachusetts, we don't have his name because they're not sure if he's 17 or 18. And in the story, and the New York Post has it, the Daily Mail has a big write-up. Again, J.K. Rowling is tweeting about it. Check out this lead from the New York Post. A bearded transgender basketball player attending a Massachusetts private school who was seen in a viral video knocking down a rival during a game was suspended from a female rowing team for staring at a topless girl in a changing room. We have lost our way. The 6-foot-tall student athlete enrolled at KIPP Academy in Lynn, Massachusetts, participated in 6 different female sports, including rowing, volleyball, and taekwondo. This was reported by the Australian magazine Quillette. So when Australian magazine is covering this story, the Boston Globe is not. I just checked. Not a word. They got 1,000 stories on the front page of their website. Nothing about the student, who is believed to be 17 or 18, joined a female rowing team at a private club in Massachusetts after allegedly doing poorly on the men's team. The transgender athlete's participation caused issues with her fellow rowers. That's the New York Post. That's not me. According to a letter sent to U.S. Rowing, one of the parents told the magazine that the athlete in question did not bother to shave her stubble and continued wearing the male team uniform. The final straw was an incident in 2022 when the trans rower walked into the girls' changing room, observed a teammate who was topless, and said, ooh, D-word, ooh, boobies, in reference to her breasts. Now, that's just one incident.
That sounds like a teenage boy to me, Jerry.
Right. He also plays basketball. At least he does when the other team is willing to play. In a game, recent game, he injured 3 fellow players. Here's a video Ironhead's showing you right now of him taking out one of the players from a school in Lowell called the Collegiate Charter School. They forfeited. They were getting crushed, literally, and on the scoreboard.
You can see her head bounce right off the court. It's gross.
On February 8th, he injured 3 players. And then the team said, we don't have enough players. We can't do this. He's 6 feet tall. He's pretty strong. He's got a beard. And he is playing for all the girls' teams at this school. And if you hear anything from Democrats or the media, it will be, you know, shouldn't we respect his truth? Hell, the congresswoman from this district, I believe, is the biggest proponent to have boys play girls sports because she has a transgender kid who got arrested for vandalizing a statue on Boston Common, you know, just living his truth. How does this even get allowed? Where are the parents? Where's the, not just the parents of the opponents who are allowing their girls to go out there and play against this beast. Where are his parents? Where are the parents of his teammates? Why aren't people stepping up? I understand. I know why they're not stepping up. It takes some guts. Hell, J.K. Rowling is, she might go to prison. She might go to jail for pointing out that this trans athlete with a beard who's hurting girls is not a girl. That's against the law in Scotland now. It soon will be against the law in the United States. But this madness just continues. This kid, like most boys who play girls' sports, he's getting off on this. He likes to hurt girls. He's a bully. At best, he's a bully. And No one's there. No one's there to stop them. It's just amazing. Here's the Daily Mail. Daily Mail chronicles all the girls who have, all the victims of this kid. They write about him being suspended from the rowing team, you know, for leering at a topless girl in the locker room. When the team takes trips, they take some road trips. He rooms with another girl. They take turns rooming in a hotel room with a bearded boy, with a bearded girl. Bill Cassidy, who's a Republican senator, did a report and about this. And of course, Democrats denounced it as transphobia. It said the report said that the boy caused many issues for the female athletes when he used their locker room. The U.S. Center for Safe Sports, whatever that is, intervened after the incident and wouldn't allow him to play on the rowing team anymore. 15 parents, rowing parents, complained, and they wouldn't allow him to row, but he's still allowed to play volleyball, basketball, and taekwondo. So he literally fights girls.
Yeah.
High school girls. Just total insanity. They point out all the kids. This is the school, the KIPP. He led them in all major statistics. Leading scorer, leading rebounder. Led this volleyball team in kills. The volleyball team went 13-9. And that's pretty amazing. They lost 9 games. He set records in girls track for the 400 meter and the shot put. His shot put was 6 feet longer than the next best, which was obviously the best girl. This boy beat her by 6 feet in the shot put. Go through all the records he set. Finishing first in this, setting the record for that. Just amazing. And there's a picture of him standing in the winner's circle in taekwondo, standing, you know, a foot taller than the girl he beat up. And, of course, the official holding his arm up and handing him the trophy. Just sickening. And it talks about some schools forfeiting because they won't play. You know, those transphobes. How do we... We've lost our minds. Complete insanity. And this is happening every day. Speaking of insanity, we're going to stay here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Check this out. This is real. The Mass General Brigham Hospital System is making major change, and it will impact their youngest patients. This is from local NBC 10. The hospital will no longer report suspected abuse or neglect to the state solely if a newborn baby tests positive for drugs after birth. They're not going to report if a newborn baby has drugs in his or her system. Instead, hospitals will now require written consent before conducting a drug test of the expectant mother or the infant. Mass General said the move is to address, quote, racial and ethnic inequities in healthcare, adding that substance abuse disorder in the context of pregnancies, quote, more disproportionately affects Black individuals because most or the majority of kids who test positive for drugs at birth are Black or are babies of color. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you if a kid is born with drugs in her system. They won't reveal it because, you know, that would be inequitable. That's Mass General. That's one of the most renowned hospitals in the world are going to protect drug addict mothers who poison their own babies because it disproportionately affects minorities. Okay. We've lost this. I don't know what to say other than this is absolute insanity. I mean, doing it is insane. Announcing it. we're not going to tell you about child abuse, about abuse of a baby, because it might affect minorities disproportionately. What does that have to do with it? Either the kid has drugs in his system or he doesn't. Why should it matter what race he is? God, that is friggin' scary. Absolutely frightening. All right. We're going to get to Tiger Woods' plan to win the Masters, which, by the way, he has no chance, not a chance in the world of winning. I'm glad he's playing.
You said that in 2019 as well, though, don't forget.
Yeah, well, it's 5 years later. He's 5 years older, and he's
5 years stronger.
His last tournament, he limped off the course sick or injured or whatever. He just, there's too many good players. He's too old. He's too banged up. I give him credit for playing because he's going to be under a lot of pressure. I'm going to watch every shot he takes, but he's not going to make the cut. I hope he does because it adds so much drama. But it's just, I mean, it's not like Mass General can rig the numbers. The Masters can't do that. They would love him to be there on Sunday, but there's no chance. We'll tell you how he plans to do that. And the Masters is big, not as big as girls basketball. Holy cow, did the girls basketball draw an amazing number, and Paul Pierce is going to explain to you why. But first, history, economics, the great works of literature, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Did you study these things in school? Maybe not. And if you did, like me, you probably didn't pay attention, and you wish you did. That's why I'm so excited that Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 free online courses in the most important and enduring subject. You can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories in the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, or the history of the ancient Christian church with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. You heard me right. That's free. I personally recommend you sign up for Constitution 101, the meaning and history of the U.S. Constitution. In this 12-lecture course, you'll explore the design and purpose of the Constitution, the challenges it faced during the Civil War, and how it has been undermined for more than a century by progressivism and liberalism. Wow, talk about a relevant course. Go right now to hillsdale.edu/Jerry to enroll. There's no cost, and it's easy to get started. That's hillsdale.edu/Jerry to register. I didn't mention this one when we were talking about, you know, the transgender madness. This is just hilarious. Here's all you need to know. It doesn't matter how many girls get hurt. Doesn't matter how many women get raped in prison. Men who decide they're women, Joe Biden has their back. Democrats, they all have their back. We saw that in Transgender Disability Day, Sunday, which some people consider Easter, but no, it's Transgender Day of Visibility. That's the real holiday we celebrated on Sunday, according to Joe Biden. Check this out from the New York Post. The Justice Department, that would be Joe Biden's DOJ, filed a lawsuit Tuesday against the state of Utah and its prison system after a transgender inmate, quote, removed her own testicles, unquote. Is that not such a 2024? This is Joe Biden's America in 2024. They're suing the Utah prison system because an inmate, obviously a male, they wouldn't allow him to go bunk with women, obviously, for he's a violent criminal. And he's obviously mentally ill, obviously insane. She removed her testicles. The lawsuit alleges that the incarcerated transgender woman, unnamed in the complaint, was discriminated against by the Utah Department of Corrections following multiple requests for treatment for gender dysphoria. I'm going to keep reading this. Stop me when I get to the crimes this guy committed. The inmate was diagnosed with gender dysphoria 9 months after she requested hormone therapy, and the hormones were not provided. Oh, until January of 2023. So they delayed getting this guy hormone treatment. And in May 2023, the complainant performed dangerous self-surgery and removed her testicles, resulting in hospitalization and additional surgery. Do they even have? I'm going to keep looking, see what crime this fella committed. But the Justice Department is suing because Utah wouldn't allow this guy into the woman's prison. They said, nope, sorry, going to the man's prison. And I'll give him credit. He was committed. He did surgery on himself. And now the Department of Justice in the federal government is suing the state for not accommodating this mentally ill, violent criminal. I find me, it's not in the story, as far as I can tell. Amazing. Find me the crime he committed, Ironhead. We need to know, because I'm going to guess it wasn't tax evasion.
I'm going to guess.
Just a guess. Let me see. Let us find out.
I guess it's going to have something to do with something against somebody's will, possibly.
Yeah, you think he's? You think he maybe paid off a porn star? It couldn't be that bad. But
wouldn't be that terrible.
Going to guess he's a convicted felon who demanded. You know what this will mean? Prisons will do this. They will accommodate these monsters. They already do it in many states. They do it in the UK. They take violent criminals. Many of them have committed violent crimes against women and children. Put them in, especially if they're going for life or 30 years. Prison sucks, but it's a lot more fun if you're a guy and you can be in a woman's prison. I mean, why wouldn't you put on a dress if you knew the state would be forced to put you in a woman's prison? I don't blame them. And, you know, most of them aren't going to commit self-surgery like this lunatic. But Joe Biden has his back. He's seen. He's appreciated, you know, for all his accomplishments. This fella, he matters. So he should be allowed in a cell with some woman. Who cares about the woman? I mean, they don't matter. We're celebrating our transgender Americans like this fella. But
it doesn't have the inmate's name in here for some reason, which is a red flag. But a community noted and says women do not have testicles, which is very funny.
That's what we are. We need community notes to determine whether women have testicles. Keep looking. I want the crime. I want the crime. We need the crime. And, you know, they don't show you the boy in Lynn. They blur out his face in every story. And they don't use his name. So he's free to just abuse young girls. And Massachusetts, Joe Biden, they have his back. But all right, we'll do Tiger quick before we get to Caitlin Clark, the biggest star in basketball right now. She's beating the NBA. She's off the charts. And I'm enjoying it. I'm all in. But Tiger Woods, I have no idea. The New York Post got this story, but take from it what you will. The good news is that Tiger Woods is going to make a play for the Masters once again. That is good news. The bad news is, girls, he's abstaining from sex as he trains. This is according to one of Woods' friends. I'm going to guess not a very good friend, who was anonymously quoted in the New York Post. Quote, he's focused. He's working really hard in the gym. He's eating right. He even eliminated sex. Now, he does that now when he's preparing. No sex until the tournament is over. He doesn't want anything to take away his focus. When asked if Woods has an ongoing relationship, the source said, there's no one to speak of. That little woman, that girlfriend who's like 4 feet tall, he's been with for years, she's out. She sued him. I think they settled. But he's on the market again. And as he prepares, now this makes no sense because Tiger was at his best when he was just banging everything in sight, waitresses and strippers. And we know Tiger was like sleeping 3 hours a night. He was partying and he was chasing everything he could.
Yeah.
And he was winning. He was great. There's never been an athlete who could deal with distractions. Well, whatever you want to call them, deal with the noise like Tiger Woods. The pressure, the media, the fans. He went out and teed it up, and a plane flew over at the Masters after the scandal, and a plane flew over with a banner that said Tiger Woods is practicing Buddhism. And he went and striped it off the first tee. There's no one in any sport who's been able to deal with distractions like Tiger. You really think he thinks having a girlfriend or a relationship is a distraction or is hurting his preparation? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe one of his friends told that to the New York Post. I mean, it's a funny story, but I'll be rooting for him, which I always find myself rooting for him, which is amazing because I used to root against him. He's not a nice guy. If you read, you know, books about him, if you read about him, maybe he's okay now, but in his heyday, he didn't treat people well. No. He didn't tip well. No. Even when he was making the moves on the waitress, he didn't tip well. Didn't treat the little people well. I don't blame him entirely because he was raised by two awful parents. His parents were terrible. They were the same way. They treated people like crap, including Tiger's own girlfriend, Tiger's coaches, his teachers. They didn't treat anybody well. And he's a chip off the old block. I think he's better now. I really believe that. And he appears to have reconciled with Elin Nordegren, his ex-wife, and appears to be, you know, taking care of his kids. We see him with Charlie, but he's not going to make the cut. And maybe then he'll just say, I guess abstinence isn't the key. But did you get the guy's crimes yet for me?
I don't even have the name.
Come on, Ironhead. How hard could it be?
I've read through like seven different stories and it's not naming the person, which makes me think.
I guess I could see why. I mean, let's not get bogged down in the crimes he committed.
It's going to come out this person's committed a double homicide or something.
Well, it's serious. It's violent. But it's like J.K. Rowling's, that bigot, that transphobe. She did the whole Twitter thread about all the guys who are now in women's prisons. And they're all violent predators. They're murderers. They're rapists. They're child abusers. And all of them decide to become women when they were convicted or when they went to trial. And then they put them in women's prisons because women don't matter to the trans ideologues. Women are collateral damage, and that's okay. Just like little girls in playing basketball against this bearded bully. All right, let's get to Caitlin Collins.
Clark.
I'm in. I'm all in on Caitlin Collins. We talked about before Monday
Clark.
Night was a...
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Collins. I'm not all in on Caitlin Collins. That would be the CNN, the Biden stooge of CNN, who's getting terrible ratings, by the way. Anyway, Caitlin Clark is the superstar from Iowa, the best player in the country, maybe the best player ever. I haven't seen them all, but I'll say it. She's the best player ever. She has the best statistics ever. She's an amazing scorer, passer. She led her team in all three categories. She's got a big game Friday night against UConn tomorrow night. I'll be all in on that too. But Monday night was a great show. She scored 41 points at 12 boards, just controlled the game, beat LSU after LSU walked off the court before the national anthem. So that was nice. And her, the numbers we knew would be good, they're beyond good. They're beyond record setting. 12.3 million people watched Monday night, which is, this is according to Yahoo Sports, it was better. It was the most viewed game in any sport other than the NFL over the last year. Any sport. It beat the clinching game in the World Series. It beat four of the, beat all but one of the games in the NBA Finals. And it beat the World Series. It's the most watched women's game ever. Now, will Friday night's piece is watched? No, but if she plays South Carolina, who's undefeated, that might top that. Top 12 million viewers. It beat every NBA game in the last year, except one finals game. She's bigger than the NBA right now. And so is the men's team, by the way. They're putting up great numbers. College basketball right now, men's and women's, is bigger than the NBA, and it should be. Monday night's game was more entertaining than any NBA game I'd seen in a long, long time. And She goes again tomorrow. If she wins, she's in the finals, and that will be off the charts, off the charts. The biggest game in any sport this year, other than football, other than the NFL. But everybody is kind of discussing this, analyzing it, and it's fun to watch people get really uncomfortable with the racial component, because obviously Caitlin Clark is white. Angel Reese, the big star, who, as we know, she's cocky. She's arrogant. Caitlin Clark's kind of cocky too. So there was a big showdown Monday night. Clark won, Angel Reese lost. And people like Jemele Hill and the usual suspect, Bomani Jones, were heartbroken. They base everything they say and do on race, and they don't like it when the white girl wins. Paul Pierce, who was fired, I believe, from ESPN for posting a video with strippers. Do I have that right? Is that what he did on ESPN? Yeah,
I think it was that, and he was smoking weed too, which is a weird thing to get fired for these days.
True. He might have had a few cocktails in him, but he did a video with some strippers, and ESPN will have none of that. So they got rid of Paul Pierce, and he appeared on Undisputed, which is the Skip Bayless show that nobody watches, but sometimes there's some highlights that make the rounds of social media. And Pierce, I'll give him credit. He goes there, talks about the racial side of this. Let's listen.
Yeah, it's beyond that, Key. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna just keep it 100 with you. We saw a white girl in Iowa do it to a bunch of black girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
That made it like, oh, that gained my respect.
I hear you. You're
like,
right.
That's like, oh, she didn't do this to some other little white girls that was over mm-hmm. here and
yeah.
In Colorado, wherever. She did it to some girls from LSU, who we thought were some dogs.
Defending champs,
and put them on her knee and spanked them.
Spanked them.
And so that, and that's, I know, but I didn't expect that.
That's a good point. I didn't expect that. LSU won last year. Iowa won this year. The white girl was the best player on the floor. She's always the best player on the floor. She's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft, which I follow religiously. I'm doing my mock draft right now. Caitlin Clark, number one. Angel Reese, number two. But here's why it's okay to say, you know, it was amazing to watch the white girl beat all the black girls. Because in basketball, the white girl is the underdog. And people who are neutral or just coming along and tuning in, watching their first girls basketball game and ever, they tend to root for the underdog. Going back to Tiger Woods, when he was new on the scene, people rooted for him, not because he's black, but because a black golfer is generally viewed as the underdog. You know, it's like if you watch, I don't know, Danica Patrick in a car race, people will root for her, women will root for her because she's the underdog. She's not expected to win. A white American basketball player at any level is viewed as the underdog. If they're not 7 feet tall, I mean, there's some great white players, but they're European, you know, like Doncic. They're not American. So a white American player who's as good as Caitlin Clark is an aberration. It's unusual. And people are surprised, like Paul Pierce. I didn't expect that. So they tune in and they see something they don't generally see. And they say, it's not because she's white. It's because she's different. She's the underdog. She's not expected to do what she did, to just dominate a game that's generally dominated by black players. So it's not hateful or divisive. It's, ooh, it's white against black. It's, look at this. It's like if you had a great white boxer. They're not rooting for him just because he's white. They're rooting for him because they view a white guy in boxing as the underdog.
Jake
like
Paul.
They would view, like they would view a black guy in golf. They would say, that's the underdog. It was initially, you know, 20 years ago, a black quarterback, Donovan McNabb, came along. People rooted for him because he was different. It was unusual.
Michael Vick.
Said, Michael Vick. I mean, it's not anymore, obviously. Right. Speaking of black quarterbacks, man, CJ Stroud, happy man today to get Stephon Diggs. Add to that receiving core. Buffalo Bills are just getting rid of everybody. A lot of salary dumps. But I don't think it necessarily helps any other team in the AFC because Houston is going to be good. CJ Stroud is great. But anyway, Kayla Clark tomorrow night, I'll be rooting for her because she's so damn good. And it's fascinating to watch. But we'll leave it there for today. Ironhead's holding up his Callahan Coffee. You can check it out at CallahanCoffee.com. Take Ironhead's word for it. It is great stuff. I know there's lots of juice from out there, but check it out. Order some, try it, and tell me it's not the best. But we'll leave it there for today on this April 4. Shots ring out in the Memphis sky. Free at last, they took your life, but they couldn't. I had my yesterday was a throat maintenance day. Went pretty well, as you could tell. My singing voice is improving, so things are going good.
I thought this was the Bono show for a second.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. It does kind of look like me. We have that Irish face, but anyway, I got to get some of those really cool sunglasses.
Definitely.
We'll leave it there for today. Thanks, Ironhead. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.